Megara. Abihu had received a voice before. There's no question about that. He had received prophecies at some point, but they were always in an ohel that he used for davening and for learning. He had different ohels. He had different ohels that did different things. There was an ohel in which he used for davening and learning, and that's the place where he always got his nevuah. Something happened and he was able to get everything. And this day, on the day, the third day of the bris, he couldn't concentrate because of the tsar from the bris meal. The bris meal was just too much for him. So he sat, instead of by the ohel where he learned and he davened, he couldn't really learn today, and he couldn't concentrate the way he normally did. He sat instead by his own house, Ohel di Russo. And that's that. That's where he was sitting, and he saw this nevuah without any type of hakdama, which you normally need, any type of real preparation. How did he get this? So the Nitziv says the following: Hu yoshev pesach ha'ol kechom hayom. He's sitting at the front of the tent at the heat of the day. Now kechom hayom, says Rashi, is referring to the middle of the day, right in the middle when the sun was right on top of the sky. Chatzos hayom. There's a Gemara in Yuma, Chaf Chasam Adayz, that says that Avraminu davened mincha miki meshachri kosli, when the wall started to darken a little bit, which means he davened mincha right at chatzos. We have a halacha that you can only daven mincha a half hour after chatzos. That's right now because the base of Mikdash was made a different way, but Avram started as soon as it started to darken. The wall started to darken and the sun went into the west and it started to darken in the east. At that moment, that's when he started davening mincha.
He created mincha, right?
He did not, and we'll get to that in a second. He created Shacharis. Right. We're going to get to what Avraham did. Well. No, he created Shacharis. Yeah. Yaakov even made Marit. As we'll see. We'll see that in a second.
But the first davening is
no. But Shacharis is supposed to know for Chesed, the first davening of the, you know, when you wake up in the morning when a person gets up. That's supposed to be the idea. And he was like, because he was a Chassid who didn't prepare himself for Nevuah in this case, but he prepared himself for Tefillah, he sat there for an hour preparing himself, getting himself ready to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even with his pain. So therefore, while he was davening, he was zocha in the midst of his davening to a gilui shechina. It was ke'ilu, he was sitting right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he was davening, and as he was yoshev, with that he's bodedus, and with that kedusha, he davened so well, he was able to meet, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu while he was in the middle of davening. The problem is, didn't Yitzchak start mincha? The Gemara in Brachos says that Avram started shacharis, Yitzchak started mincha, and Yaakov started marav, or so it seems to say. So they ask, if Yitzchak started mincha, then what does it mean that Avram Vino started it? Avram davened me kimeshachri kosli. What does that mean? Tosfos Brachos Chav Vav Mabez asked this question and answers that Avram Vino started davening it after Yitzchak Avinu was metaking it. So after Yitzchak made mincha, then Avram started davening the same exact thing at a different type of time, at a different time. But regardless, Avram Vino davened it, and it could be that Avram Vino even started davening it before that time. He davened shacharis as an absolute, you must daven shacharis. He davened mincha at times. On a day like today, where he wasn't busy with guests, he davened mincha when he wanted to daven mincha. He had nothing else to do right now. It's boiling hot outside. He's sitting there in pain from the bris milah. No guests at his house, so he had nothing else to do. So he got up and he davened it mincha. But he didn't set it up for doros. He didn't set it up for the future generations. Therefore, the gilui mincha happened while he was davening mincha, and while he was davening mincha, and had that gilui shechina, and a kadosh baruch was literally upon him. All of a sudden, the malachim showed up. Now, we all know that during our Shemona Esrei, we can't concentrate on other things. You can't look at other things. You can't see what other people are doing. So seemingly, Avraham Avinu should not have noticed that there were malachim that were walking around right beside him. He shouldn't have seen them. Because if you're in the midst of Shemona Esrei, that's not what you do. You don't look around. You don't see other people. You don't see other things. That's not what you're supposed to do. However, I'm sorry? Yeah, that's the point. Something happened. He felt like something happened around him. And it wasn't that he saw it. He felt like something was different. And even when he was in the midst of the Gilui Shechina, Avraham Avinu had perfected himself to such a point that if he saw or if he knew there were guests around, he knew about it. He realized there was something there. There's something else that happens. It's usher to say hello to someone in the middle of the desert at night. It's a Gemara in Megillah. The reason why is because he might be a shade. He might be a demon. So you can't say hello to anybody that you see in the middle of the desert at night because of that reason. It might be a shade. But if it's during the day, then you could, but you have to check first. If he has a bavoa de bavoa, a shadow within a shadow, that means you can see that he not only has his shadow, but if there's two things going across him, you can see shadows going within the shadows. If you can see that, then you know you're not going to have have a problem, it's not a shade, because a shade doesn't have a shadow within a shadow. Here's the issue. The issue is, these were malachim. They didn't have shadows in the first place. Malachim don't have shadows, number one. But that's okay. It was also the middle of the day. Chatzos Hayom. The sun was up in the middle of the sky, except for there's no shadow to see in the first place. The shadow would be directly underneath them. So you wouldn't have seen that in the first place. So how could Avraminu know that they were human beings if he couldn't see a shadow? He couldn't see a shadow anyway because they were malachim, but he wouldn't have seen the shadow because it's the middle of the day. So Rav Yonah and Akshit says, how can he say hello to him? What are you supposed to do? So everybody knows the famous Gemara, Kiddushin Chofes. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said to his son, you don't know how to learn. I'm going to go learn instead of you. He told his son, you go work and I'm going to go learn instead because I'm a better learner than you. So he goes to the Beis Medrash of Abaye. The Beis Medrash of Abaye at that time had a seven-headed demon that was going around the Beis Medrash, and Abaye didn't know how to get rid of it. When he heard the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was coming by, he said, oh, perfect. Nobody give him a place to sleep. Let him sleep in the Beis Medrash. He'll get rid of the seven-headed demon. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov stayed that night in the Beis Medrash, and as he stayed there, the seven-headed demon came out. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was able to get rid of it. Every time he bowed down to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he broke off one of the heads. The next day he went up to Abaye. He's like, oh, what was that for? What did I deserve that for? Abaye knew that he wasn't going to be affected by everything will be okay. Here's the idea. Says the Marsha in that line, says the Marsha, he bowed down seven times because he davened Shmona Esrei so that the demon wouldn't be able to touch him. And the Kiddush of the Shmona Esrei surrounded him, said he was protected from the demon on all sides. Seven times was for the seven bowings that we do in our Shmona Esrei. The two in the very beginning, the two by Modin, and then three at the very, very end. So he had seven times that he bowed. Seven times, every time he bowed in the Shmona Esrei, he was protected by the Shmona Esrei, so the demon didn't hurt him. When he finished his Shmona Esrei, by that time, the demon was completely gone. Avraminu did the same. He was in the middle of his Shmona Esrei. He wasn't sure if there were demons or not, so what did he do? He bowed down to them in his Shmona Esrei. It could be that he didn't even really start yet. He was preparing himself, had the Gila Shechina, and was in the midst of his Shmona Esrei right then. And when he had done such a thing, at that moment, that's when he bowed down. He saw that the Malachim did not lose their heads. Nobody had their heads pop off. When he saw that happen, he said, oh, must be the real people, the real guests. And then he passed in the halacha. He stopped his mincha, stopped his gilui shechina, went out to go bring in the guests, because he passed in that Kabbalah's pnei shechina is not as great as Achnasas Orchim. And that's when he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adonai, referring to Hashem, although that's machlokes, Hashem, al na tavor me alavdecha. Don't pass away, don't go away from me right now. I'm davening Shmona Esrei to you. I shouldn't interrupt my davening, but I passed in, I don't have mincha for real. It's not the same thing as the mincha that my children will have. It's a different type of mincha. For this mincha, I can go and bring in these guests. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to continue as soon as the guests leave. That's exactly what he does. He waits for the guests to leave. He serves, everybody knows, he brought the milk and the meat, and he brought them together, and he served them malachim. The malachim said that Sarah was going to have a baby, and then he walks with them. He walks them out as he was going through, and it says, the men got up, they looked down at Sodom, the Avram Halech Imam L'Shalachon. And Avram went with them to go send away. He was Malavada. The same way that you have a guest at your house, you're supposed to bring them out the front door and say, we'll see you soon, whatever it is. And some even lead them out a little bit. Avram, you know, as well, led them along their way, went with them for a couple parsos, for a couple miles, outside of his house, and went with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, should I tell Avram, you know, what I'm about to do? And he says, I'm going to. He goes down and he says it to him. And it says the following. As he goes through, it says, the men turned away. They went to Sodom. Avram stood, was still standing in front of Hashem, because as soon as the Malachim left him, Avram started davening Shmona Esrei again. He stood exactly where he was, and he promised that Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't go away, I'm going to be right back with you. I'm just going to fulfill my obligation of bringing out these guests, then I'm going to daven again. So he got up and he stood for his Shmona Esrei again, in the middle of wherever he was, in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere, he stood up and davened his Shmona Esrei and continued wherever he was to be able to continue davening to Hashem. At that moment, he realized where the Malachim were going, and he realized, these people are going down to destroy Sodom. So he immediately immediately started davening, and Vayigash Avram, in his davening, Vayomar, he said, are you really going to destroy the tzaddikim with the Rishayim? Are there 50 people there? Are there 45 people there? Are there 40? Going through trying to save all of Sodom. This is the concept of what he had, and that's why the Targum Onkelos says over here, exactly when he says he was standing, it says, Mishamish Bitzlo, Kadam Hashem. The word Bitzlo is also referring to davening. He stood up and he started davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's when he was rewarded. That's when he was rewarded in another vision. Why now? Why not wait until he went back home? He wanted to do it immediately. That was the best time to be able to do it. And we say the following, we paskin the following, because Avraham Avinu did such a thing. If you're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, it's better to ask for it in your Shemona Esrei than it is just stop to go up and ask God for something. You don't just stop, go up and say, God, can I ask, can I have this, can I have that? You could. But it's not the same power. It doesn't have the same type of koach as if you do it in the middle of your Shemona Esrei. If you get up in your Shemona Esrei and you say in the middle of your Shema Kolenu, you have a Yiratzon and you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please heal this person. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me this. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking for that. Anything like that, in the middle of your Shemona Esrei is the most powerful time to be able to do it. And it could be, parenthetically, this is the whole issue between Eli and Chana. We all know what happened with Eli and Chana. Eli was the Kohen Gadol and the Navi at the time, the Shofet. And Chana, who is the mother of Shmuel and Avi, Chana comes by, and she goes to the Mishkan, and she starts davening in front of the Mishkan. And she davens quietly. And Eli says, what's going on here? Who davens quietly? Says in the Tziv. What does that mean, who davens quietly? Did he not know the halacha? You have to daven quietly for Shemona Esrei? This is stomach so other people can concentrate. No one was ever allowed to daven Shemona Esrei aloud. You would make everybody else think about other things. No one could do such a thing. So what's pshat that she said, that Eli said to her, I didn't know you could daven so quietly. The pshat is like this. Eli knew Chana. Chana came by every year for every one of the regalim for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. He knew her well, and he knew that she always made minyanim. Whenever there was a minyan, she was there. When there was a shacharis, a mincha, and a marv, she was there. She stood there and she davened along with everybody else. She was there for every single minyan. At this point, she came to daven after she had finished eating, before mincha time, before everybody was davening mincha, before everybody had gotten together to make a minyan. She came on her own and she went up to the Mishkan and she started davening. She started her own Shemona Esrei. Eli looked at her and said, wait, she normally davens with a minyan. So what's she doing right now? She's just asking for something. She just wants something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Eli said, first of all, where do you see that you should ask for something just stam in the middle of the day like this? That's what Eli said. Number two, if you're going to ask for something, that's when you're supposed to scream out. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Eli said to her, what are you doing? Why are you davening quietly if you're really supposed to be screaming out and begging God for something? To which Chana said, you don't get it. The best time to ask for something is in your Shemona Esrei. And Shemona Esrei has to be silent. So even though I'm knocking off, I'm not davening with a minion, even though I'm not davening with the rest of the people there, the best time to daven and ask for something is without a minion, as soon as you can, in your Shemona Esrei. So I'm davening mincha a little bit early. That's what I'm doing right now. And that was why Eli was confused, but that was Chana's answer. Where did she learn that from? From Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu could have gone back. He could have gone back to his people, and he could have davened with a minion with the rest of the people around, with Eliezer Eved Abram, with Yishmael, with everybody else who's around. He could have had a minion with them. But he didn't. He stood in the middle of the desert and immediately started davening, because he realized, if you want to daven for something like Sodom, do it immediately. Don't wait. Don't do it outside of davening. Do it as soon as you can. That's where Chana learned it out from, straight from Abraham. You know, and that's a lesson for us, that if you're going to need something, if you ever want to ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu for something in the middle of nowhere, you can daven for it right in the middle, right there, without a minion. Just daven your Shemona Esrei and add it into your tefillah. That's the best time to be able to ask for it. That's the idea behind it. And that also explains Yud Tes Chof Zayin, very quickly, Moshe, before you say it. Yud Tes Chof Zayin says, it says, right after everything is all said and done, and Lot is taken out, it says, Vayashkim Avram Baboker Lamokom Hashem Shamas Bnei Hashem. Avram got up in the morning to the place where he had stood davening to Hashem. Avram stayed out there in the field, because he realized he had stayed out there so late with his mincha. It was already late. It was too late for him to go back to his house. So he made a tent, stayed out there that night, and the next morning got up to go look at Sodom, where he had led the Malachim to. He got up to be able to go there to see what had happened to Sodom, and he davened in that area, Shacharis, a brand new Shacharis, right there in the morning when he saw what had happened. That's the concept of what it is for tefillah. What are you going to say, Moshe? That's a good call. That's the definition of what Chazal would call tefillas nedava. Not too many people do it tefillas nedava nowadays. Tefillas nedava means you daven the exact same Shemona Esrei over by adding on something.
Are we able?
Yeah, we can. might be the situation where you might have to wait for Maariv. But if you really need it, mamish at that moment, it could be. I don't know how to paskin la halacha. It could be this is where you're getting it from. I don't know. I don't want to paskin la halacha. But it could be, listen, if you do it, I'm sure you're not going to lose out from it. I'm sure you're not going to lose out. The question is, if you're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain, it's called Tefillas Nedava. You're adding it on just for that. But it's the best time to be able to ask for anything. It's mamish in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Now, this thing, this word, I got to tell you, this is, that was all with Davina. This has to do with Yitzchak. I've never really understood Yitzchak. There was a person in Chicago who once darshened out in a speech, a famous speech, said that Yitzchak had a mental illness of some sort, and that's why he was one of those avos that you never hear about, and that's why he was able to do the Akedah and things like that. I hope her Gehenna is not as large as I think it is. I hope that, you know, the punishment that she deserves is not going to be given to her. Yitzchak Avinu was nothing like any other person in the world. You have to understand what Yitzchak Avinu was, and I'll tell you honestly, I don't fully understand Yitzchak Avinu. Everything he did and everything he was all about, I don't fully understand. I'll ask you four questions that have to do with this parsha. Number one, the Malachim came to give him the news that Yitzchak Avinu was going to be born. Did you ever see that by anyone else anywhere in the Torah? Granted, there was by Shimshon, the mother of Shimshon had to know certain halachos, so a Malach had to tell her, you're going to have a baby. Granted, but that's to know halachos. Why did Sarah Aminu need to know that she was going to have a baby? What's the big deal? Why do you have to have the news? When Yitzchak and Rivka couldn't have kids, it's not like they had a Malach there. They davened, eventually they had a kid. I mean, just wait a year and you'll have a kid. Is it that big of a deal that the Malachim had to come to tell them? You got to have a kid. And remember, a Malach can only do one thing. Michal came down to tell her that she had a kid, and then he went back up to Shemayim. Raphael and Gabriel were the ones that went to Sidon. But Michal, he just said, what in the world do you need a Malach to tell you the news for? What is the big deal to know the Yitzchak's going to be born? That's number one. Number two, Sarah lied. She denied it was ever going to happen and laughed at it, and then she lied about it later on. What in the world does that mean? When in the world would Sarah lie in the first place, and how could she not believe she was going to have a kid? She mamish had to say, well, I don't think I'm ever going to have a kid. He's too old. Avram Avinu just had a kid. Not too long ago, we just had Yishmael. What is the problem? You're the issue, not him. What in the world is going on here? That's question number two. How in the world could she deny it? Number three, the whole Maisa with Avimelech is ridiculous. The whole thing happened with Paro. She was taken by Paro, etc. This happened, and Chazal tell us that the baby Yitzchak was born 9 months to the day when she was together with Avimelech. However many days it is for a baby to be born, 270 days, for a baby to be born, 270 days after she was with Avimelech in that room, she had a baby. So everybody was getting up and saying, it's Avimelech's baby. It was exactly 9 months. Why in the world would a Kadosh Baruch Hu do such a thing? Why in the world would you allow such a thing to happen? Why say such a thing exactly 9 months later? Why would you do that? And why did that have to happen? Why did Avram Avinu even go to Avimelech in the first place? You ever wonder about that? There was no love. So Avram got up one day. He said, alright, I'm going to the police station. Stay where you are. You just got a nevuah from Malachim in your house. And you're going to Avimelech? So the Rashi says, because Lot had a bad name about him, and there were no over and b'shavim because stone was gone. Come on. Why is he going to the police station? He's never been there before. All of a sudden he gets up and goes to the police station when you know your wife is going to be pregnant. You know your wife is not going to be good for traveling because she has a baby in her stomach. And you're going to go to the police station? A place where there are people that are, again, you're going to have to lie about your wife and say that she's your sister? For what? Go up north, go to Tzfas, go hang out in Tveria, go hang out somewhere else. You're going to the Plishtim. Why would you go to the Plishtim? The strangest thing in the world. And just what's going on here? Those are four basic questions. Four basic questions. The Plishtim, and what's going on with Avimelech? Why have this whole thing happened? The Chiddush HaRim. Chiddush HaRim says, well, this is going to be a longer type board that's going to explain it all. Yitzchak Avinu is the Midah of, we all know it, Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevura. What does Gevura mean? What does Gevura mean? It means that you don't belong in this world. You're not here. You are pure Midas Adin. That means you do one chait, you're immediately punished. There's no Erech HaPayim for you. There's no length of anger, I'll let you do tshuva. No. Yitzchak Avinu lived in a world where if one day he got up a minute late, he was immediately punished. He's immediately bitten by a bee. Then stung by a bee. It immediately happened to him. Yitzchak Avinu was living in a world that did not work in Olam Haseh. A world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world with, but he couldn't. There's no way he's known as an Ola Tamima. He was a Korban. For goodness sake, there's no other person in the world who has ever been a Korban, who's supposed to be a Korban. He was offered as an Ola Tamima to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, says the Kedush HaRen, certain people couldn't even see Yitzchak Avinu. He wasn't nicker at all in this world. It was impossible to see him. And there was a halacha by Yitzchak Avinu. Aser lehanos me'atzmo. He couldn't get any benefit from himself. He could not get any hana from himself in this world. He was a korban. Can't get any hana from a korban. It's a mehila. He couldn't get any hana from himself. It's a crazy line. He didn't belong here. He shouldn't have been in this world in the first place. That's one of the reasons why Sari Menu laughed. She heard. She knew what kind of a kid she was going to have. She knew that if Avram is chesed, her son was going to be the exact opposite. Was going to be pure, pure midas adin. And she said, he can't be here. Such a kid can't be here. Sometimes the best thing to do when you hear something like that, such pure. Your meat is a din, such a harsh punishment, something harsh for such a person. You laugh at it. You laugh at it. You say, there's no way such a person can exist here. No way this could happen to me. There's no way. It's not Lamaisa a child. He's not really going to be mine. It's not going to be a child that can hug and kiss and everything. It's a meat is a din child. It's a child that can't do anything wrong. Isn't it a pella that she laughs at him and Yitzchak Avinu is known for the tzchok? He's called because of the laughter that Sari Menu laughed at him. For what? Why? The tzchok was a bad thing. And the answer was no. The tzchok can be a good thing. Tzchok by Yishmael, when Yishmael was mitzachik in Yitzchok, what does mitzachik mean? Playing with Yitzchok? Rashi says he was over on Gili Arayis, Shfichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah. He was over on the big three. He was killing people. He was playing William Tell with Yitzchak and trying to shoot an arrow off his head according to the Medrash. He was trying to get Yitzchak to be over on a riot, and he's trying to get Yitzchak to worship Avodah Zarah. He says, that's mitzachik from the word tzchok. And Rashi gives riot. Yitzchak is named for tzchok. What a terrible word. Because the pshat is that Yitzchak was laughing at the Yitzhahara. Yitzchak didn't have a Yitzhahara. Yitzhahara tried to tell him to do something. Can you imagine a person being told you're going to be a sacrifice and you just walk ahead? You're like, okay, all good. And that's that. No questions, no problems. There's something all throughout the Akedah. There's something's going up to Avraham Avinu. Saying to Avraham Avinu, you made a mistake, you're wrong, you shouldn't sacrifice your kid, it's hypocrisy. Yelling at Avraham Avinu, nothing to Yitzchak. Yitzchak wasn't affected by the Satan. Yitzchak didn't look at the Yitzhara. He had no shaykhus to a Yitzhara. He laughed at the Yitzhara. That's why he's called Yitzchak. The tzchok that's in the world, Gilurai Shukhzama Bodhazara, Yitzchak laughed at it. Yitzchak looked at it and said, there's nothing there. Nothing there. He couldn't do such a thing. That's the concept. That's why he's the perfect tzchok. He is the laughter. He laughs at everything in this world. He doesn't look at Olam Hazeh as a problem. He's living in Olam Haba while his body is here in Olam Hazeh. Says the Mashiach Lach Mehishpitzer, the world wasn't worthy for such a soul to be brought down here. It wasn't worthy for such a thing. This neshama didn't belong here, and it shouldn't have been brought here. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do something. He brought down three malachim to be metaher the world. They had to purify the entire world. A malach, according to the Gemara in Chulin Tzadi Alfon Beis, is shlish ha'olam. It's the size of a third of the world. So if you bring down three malachim, you were metaher the entire world. They purified the world so that Yitzchak's neshama could come down into it. She couldn't even conceive Yitzchak. Yitzchak couldn't even be in Sarah's stomach until there was such pure, pure kedusha in the world. That's why the malachim had to come, to tell her over, it's time for Yitzchak. And just like Shimshon, there's going to be halachos regarding this. You can't drink wine, you can't have grapes, you can't have this, you can't have that. And all these halachos that are there, Yitzchak also had halachos. Sorry, man, you don't realize what kind of a kid you have. That's what they were told. And they had to purge the world of excess tumah. Where was the tumah of the world at the time? Sodom. Sodom had to be destroyed. For Yitzchak to be born, you first needed Malachim to come down, and then you needed all of Sodom to be destroyed. But not only that. Now that the world was a little bit more kadosh, Avraham Avinu had one more problem. There were still the Plishtim. The Plishtim were still evil. Mitzrayim, he had already fixed up a little bit. Sodom, gone. The Malachim came, they brought back Kedusha to the entire world, but the Plishtim were still tummy. So Avraham Avinu had to travel to the land of the Plishtim to try to be metiret, to try to bring it back. What are the Plishtim known for? Okay. One thing that the Plishtim are known for is Gvura. Who did the Plishtim have? Goliath. Yishbi Benov. These giants that fought. Granted, Dovermelech was able to take this slingshot and kill him. But they're known for their gvura. They're known for their absolute strength. They're known for all the crazy things that they were doing. The idea is that Abimelech should have been the exact opposite of what Bnei Yisrael stood for. You should know, by the way, Abimelech, the very first letters, stand for the Golos. Aleph is Edom. Bez is Babel. Yud is Yavan. Mem is Mitzrayim or Magai. All our Goliaths are there in Abimelech. Abimelech stood for a tremendous amount of tumas. He's called the Plishtim. The Plishtim is a Mavoi Mefulish. Have you ever heard of that word, Mavoi Mefulish? It's an open alleyway, which is open from Rosh Hashanah on one side, Rosh Hashanah on the other side. Normally a Mavoi is closed off at the end, little alleyway, in which you have Chatzeros, little houses on the side. Mavoi Mefulish means Rosh Hashanah, a big street, and the Mavoi goes out between the two. The Plishtim were in between the Tumah of Mitzrayim and the Tumah of Canaan. They were like an open alleyway, because that area of Gaza is right in between the two, and they took on the tomb of Mitzrayim and the tomb of Eretz Canaan. They were the Gvura, pure strength of Tumah. And in order to combat that, Avinu had to grab that Tumah and show them that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. He made the wells. He fought against Abimelech. He made a bris with Abimelech, trying to grab that Gvura for himself and give it over to the Kedusha of Yitzchak Avinu. That was the whole point. Going down to the Plishtim to be able to take it and bring it in for himself and be able to do things. That way Yitzchak could be born. That way Yitzchak could be inside this world. It wasn't so hard for Yitzchak to even exist, because otherwise he couldn't exist. He couldn't survive. There was no way for him to be here. Now what about Sari Menu lying? Now this is not an easy answer. It's not an easy thing to understand. It's not an easy thing to know. We have a line, and you've probably heard it before. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyiras shamayim. Everything is the hands of the heavens, except for yiras shamayim. You can't ask God for you to fear Him. You have to do it yourself. You have to be in awe of God and yourself. You can't say to God, please help me fear you. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. You can't do that. That's what the Gemara says. How can that be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. You can't ask God to help you fear Him? How could that be? Because the way the world is run, with Chesed and Gevura and Tiferes all put together, there's no way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it. It's not fair. If you just ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for you to help fear Him, you just automatically fear Him, and that would be it. That's the Chesed of God. If you'd ask for it, it would be given to you. In Yitzchak Avinu's world, though, you can ask for your Shemayim. In Yitzchak Avinu, where it's pure Midas Adin, if you daven for it, it's going to come. So here's the pshat, and here's what happened with Sari Menu. This child is so great, he's going to show that Akol Bidei Shemayim Afilu Yiras Shemayim, that everything is in God's hands. That's what Yitzchak's able to do. Sari Menu said, Adoni Zaken, there's no way this child could be born, because Chutz Miyiras Shemayim, there's no way that such a thing can happen. She denied the craziness of the miracle that would have to happen. According to the Gemara, Yevamos Samach Dalam Nalef, Sari Menu didn't have a womb. Sari Menu was beyond an islandess. She was a tumtum as well, according to the Gemara Yevamos. She was a woman who had nothing, no ability at all to give birth. She said, the miracles that need to happen for me to have a baby are beyond this world, and such a miracle is so beyond. There's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow such a thing to be. It's too far out of nature. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this kid is too far out of nature. That's what she was saying. You think I'm old? You think Avraham Avinu is old? Whatever, that means Zakanti? This kid is going to show that everything is in the hands of God and that I can do anything. That's what this kid is going to show. Therefore, he had to be born in such a crazy way that even though you had no chance of getting a baby, no chance at all, you're still going to have a baby. That's the concept. And that's why Sarah laughed and said, how could it be? How is it shayach that God does such a huge miracle for me? How is it shayach? That's what the kid's all about. So when Avraham went up to her and said, you laughed. What's wrong with you? She said, Chas Shalom. I didn't deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it. I said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't do it. That's not how God runs the world. God's not going to do it because the world doesn't run on such crazy miracles. God doesn't do such a thing. It's not going to happen. That's what I said. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's just the problem. God will do it. You have to know that there are times, especially now, where God will do crazy things. That's the concept of Mashiach. You sit around and you're like, what the heck is Mashiach going to do? Mashiach is going to what? He's going to convince them that the Al-Aqsa Mosque is not the real mosque. He's going to make sure that everybody in the world agrees with him. How in the world is he going to convince everybody? That's going to take an act so far far beyond nature. There's no way. It's impossible for Mashiach to come and convince everybody that he's the Mashiach. It won't happen. How's he just going to convince the Jews? We're all, come on, each one of us is, we look at other people and we're like, that guy's not Mashiach. You look at everybody. What's that, what kippah is he going to wear? Well, who's going to accept him? Who's going to accept him? Sure, the black hatters will accept the black hatter, and the Sephardim will accept a turban, and I guess you'll have Mizrachim accepting like a knitted kippah. You'll have one after the other, but seriously, what's Mashiach going to do? There's nobody that everybody would accept. And the pshat is, you'll see, it's going to be beyond nature. Yep. It's going to be beyond everything, and it's going to happen. And you're going to look at it and say, that's unbelievably crazy. You'll say right now it's impossible, but it's not. It's absolutely possible. That's what's going to happen. The last line that we'll say is the following.
I hope he wears a snood.
It was probably I wouldn't accept that, but still. Yeah, we'll see. If it happens, you'll just know it. And that's the concept of Mashiach. My son was asking me today, I came home today, and there was like a noise that was going outside, like somebody was using a drill, and my son said to me, there's a soft sound outside. And he looked at me and he said, maybe it's Mashiach. Maybe it's Mashiach. Maybe that's the shofar for Mashiach. I said,
yeah, right.
I said, no, honey, it's not. Because if it was, you'd know it. And that's the line. You know it. It's not a question of you just hear a shofar in the street, you're like, oh, Mashiach. That's the Sotham. The Sotham gets fooled by that shofar blast. He thinks that's Mashiach. You'll know when it's Mashiach. When it's Mashiach, it's not just Tama shofar blast. It's a shofar blast. The shofar blast. The greatest shofar blast you'll ever hear. In Yud Ches Kof Aleph, and this is how we're going to end. Ir Dano, I want to go down the Eret. I'll see in Sodom HaKetzaka Sobai Layasu Kala. If it's like the cries that are coming to me, if they're doing that, I'll destroy it in low, and if not, I'll know, and I'm not going to destroy Sodom. What was that Kadosh Baruch Hu saying? Okay, says the Kedusha Rim, by lowering himself into the world, what does God do? He brings more Kedusha into the world. He brings more Kedusha. He already brought the Malachim down to Avraham to be Matar of the world. Sodom needed something different. He had a plan. His plan was, if they can't be helped, I'll destroy them, and that way we'll get rid of that tumor. If they can be helped, that means that I'm going to have to be involved. I'll bring my Kedusha down. If my Kedusha affects them, great. Then I don't have to destroy them and the world will be Tahor for Yitzchak. If I can't do that, then nothing will happen. So he brought himself down. And he tried to bring them thoughts of Pachad. Pachad of Hashem. Thoughts of Tshuva. Tried to give them that idea. Something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never does. But this is for Yitzchak Avinu. And Midas Hadin allows these crazy things to happen. He came down and he brought Malachim in to give them Kedusha. And what did they do? They looked at the Malachim and they had nothing. They had no semblance of what Kedusha was. They looked at the Malachim and the only thing they could think of is we have to sleep with these guys. I don't know if they were normally into sodomy. I don't know if that's something that normally they were in. For some reason, the Midrashim never mention anything. They mention about stealing. They mention about these stretching the guests out, about not giving tzedakah. Those are the punishments for Sodom. But it doesn't say anywhere that they were over on Mishkav Zachar. It doesn't say in the Midrashim that they were over on Mishkav Zachar, that I've seen. That they were over on Mishkav Zachar. Except for now. What happened? Because they saw the Kedusha. And they were so perverse, so off. Every person in the city, Mikatan Vad Gadol, came to Lot's house. Every child, every old man, every person came to Lot's house. And they said, there's something going on here. We have to sleep with it. That unbelievably messed up. There's something going on here. That's Kedusha. So find out what the Kedusha is. But their idea was, there's something going on here. We have to sleep with it. When they had that feeling, when they felt the Kedusha and that's the feeling they got, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized how off they were. Their Kadosh, their holiness, turned into Kadesh, which means prostitution. And when he saw that they were that far off, there was nothing he could do to fix them. And that's the idea of, I don't have a choice, Kala, they have to be destroyed. It could be that the line could be like this. If HaKetzaka saw a boy lie asu, Kala, if somehow they're able, I'm able to come down and I'm able to connect with them, then they will be my Kala. I'll be the Chosan, they'll be my Kala. And we'll have a quasi Matan Torah of a marriage between myself and Sodom, giving them a Kedusha, giving them a little bit of Kedusha. Possibly that's the wine. But they didn't. It's Kala. They were completely destroyed because they looked at it in the wrong way. They tried to rape the Kala. They tried to destroy that Kedusha. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it cannot be in this world.
Why did Mishkav Zachar if it's angels? They're not really anything.
No, you're right. Meaning that's what they thought it was. They saw them as human beings, so that's all they thought to do. That was the concept. But in Akanam, yeah, Malachim don't have the ability, yeah, obviously don't have the ability to be together with a man or a woman.
What about the
fallen, the Nephilim? That's another story for another time. Those are Malachim Mashkas, which might be a little bit different. That the Gemara says they had Pur Revu. Malachim Mashkas have the ability.
I mean, Mashkas is indestructible.
Yeah, yes. We'll talk about that. Shaden. They were a form of Shaden. But that's that. Yes, but that. Hold on. Summary. Just to end it all off. Bakashos are done during tefillah. We learned that from Avraham Avinu in his tefillah that he did right at the beginning of the parsha, and it kept going throughout the parsha. That's the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. Number two, by the way, if you ever go to the Mori Nevuchim and you see that the Rambam says this whole thing was a dream, this is the other way of looking at it. Instead of saying the whole thing was a dream, say the whole thing was within a tefillah. It answers up everything the Rambam asked in Mori Nevuchim, just so you know. Number two, Yitzchak's birth was a Pella. It was a Pella and shouldn't have happened. Yitzchak should not be in this world and needed preparation before it came. And number three, the Yerida of Hashem. Nothing else could save Sodom. The only thing that could happen was for his Kedusha to affect Sodom. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.